Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hi guys, and welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. I am so excited to have you guys with us today. I am just wanting to talk about a topic that we've covered on this podcast a lot before. Actually, it's a topic that our whole podcast is kind of based around. It's sexual risk avoidance. You Were Made for More was created because we want every student, every child, every young adult to know that they were made for more, that God created them for thriving, healthy relationships, and we seek to equip and enable them to obtain those relationships by critical thinking and goal setting and healthy decision making. That's really what this is all about and why we're here. Sexual risk avoidance is a term that you may hear thrown around in the media. It's a term that you may hear used in schools, that you may see on the news. And it's a program that the government created. And we're going to talk about what it is today, because I think there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of misconceptions. And sexual risk avoidance is really important. In public health, a risk avoidance approach is always given primacy when addressing health risk behaviors. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to say that again because it kind of was a mouthful. In public health, a risk avoidance approach is always given primacy when addressing health risk behaviors. Here's a prime example. In the 1960s, the message regarding smoking wasn't don't begin smoking, but if you already are smoking, it's important to stop. That's not what they did. That would be silly, as I'd say to my almost five-year-old. The message that they started putting out about smoking was simple. It was do not smoke because there are consequences and you could die from those consequences. You can look at the example that I have linked in the show notes. This is an example of an ad from back in the 1960s. And if we're honest, when we look at this ad, this is what avoidance education is all about. If you can't pull up the ad right now, basically it's a picture of a man and a woman talking and he's saying, hey, mind if I smoke, with a cigarette in his mouth. And down below, he is kind of saying, care if I die? Because that is the reality. If you treat smoking like a casual behavior, you are in essence saying that your life is very casual and that it does not have value because the risks of smoking are too great. And that's what method the government used to educate people about why smoking is bad. So I wanted to set the scene with that, because that's what this term avoidance education, no matter what it is all about. Every teenager deserves to receive the knowledge and the skills needed to achieve optimal health. That's what public health goals should really be about anyway, right? It should be about giving people skills to help them reach ideal outcomes. Now, if... sorry, guys, I have a frog in my throat. If you have heard of sexual risk avoidance education before, you may have heard it referred to as risk avoidance or primary prevention. Sexual risk avoidance is the exact opposite of the other government-funded program called sexual risk reduction, otherwise known as what you've heard us refer to as comprehensive sex education. Comprehensive sex education is primarily focused on increasing contraceptive use among teenagers in order to reduce the risks that go along with having sex, like pregnancy, STDs, things like that. The SSR approach normalizes teen sex and is considered a secondary prevention strategy. The purpose of the General Departmental Funded Sexual Risk Avoidance Education Program is to fund projects that exclusively implement sexual risk avoidance education, teaching youth how to voluntarily refrain from non-marital sexual activity. This is the exact opposite of that comprehensive sexual education that I was referring to earlier. Sexual risk avoidance education programs also teach the benefits associated with things that we talk about a lot: sexual regulation, self-regulation, success sequencing for poverty prevention, healthy relationships, goal setting, and resisting sexual coercion, dating violence, and other youth risk behaviors such as underage drinking or illicit drug use. And it talks about these things all without normalizing teen sexual activity. We want to educate people. We want to make them aware of what these topics are. We want to be real with them about what they're going to encounter in the culture. But we don't want to normalize it to the point that they think that these behaviors are okay because they see other people doing them. The sexual risk avoidance education programs that are funded by the government do have to address certain topics. They have to address certain educational goals in order for the funding to continue, if that makes sense. So I'm going to read you some of those just so you get a picture of, like, the fact that this really is an all-encompassing view of what sex education really is about. These programs have to address the holistic, individual, and societal benefits associated with personal responsibility, self-regulation, goal setting, healthy decision making, and a focus on the future. They have to address the advantage of refraining from non-marital sexual activity to improve future prospects and the physical and emotional health of youth. They have to talk about the increased likelihood of avoiding poverty when youth attain self-sufficiency and emotional maturity before engaging in sexual activity. So if you notice, all of these things that I'm saying are really just empowering youth to understand who they are, who they were made to be, who they are able to become, and how to do that. It's giving them the proper tools to realize that they are able to make good decisions even at a very young age if they have good and solid information and a foundational relationship with their parents, with people who disciple them, with the church. They are able to do that. Just because they are young does not mean that they need to make mistakes to figure out what they want. They can critically think about it and attain those things without going through some of the heartache and the heartbreak. These programs also have to talk about how other youth risk behaviors, such as drug and alcohol use, increase the risk for teen sexual activity. And then they have to address how to resist and avoid and receive help regarding sexual coercion and dating violence, recognizing that even with consent, even if both parties are consenting, teen sex remains a youth risk behavior. There are vast differences between SRA education and SRR, comprehensive sex education. The major distinction is how each approach regards teens. SRA education believes teens can avoid sex, and CDC trends data shows that in increasing numbers, they are actually making decisions to do that. Discussions empower teens to make the healthy decision to wait for sex regardless of their previous sexual experience. By contrast, SRR assumes that teens can't or won't avoid sexual experimentation, so the majority of their time is spent talking about sex, contraception, using condoms, and other forms of birth control with a view to simply reduce rather than eliminate sexual risk avoidance among teens. They're very, very, very different, and both of them are being taught to our children in a lot of school districts. So we have competing sexual education programs. What people want to know and what the media really wants to know is, are these SRA programs actually working? Are they actually effective? And here's the answer. Yes, as we head into the school year in just about a month, I can't believe that, you know, it's July and it's almost going to be a new school year. This is something to think about as you as a parent or you as a teenager have conversations with people regarding relationships. SRA programs are working. I'm going to link to all of these sources in the show notes for you. It's fascinating to read all of the research and the studies. There are currently 25 peer-reviewed studies showing that students in SRA classes are more likely to delay sexual initiation, and if they are sexually active, they are more likely to discontinue or decrease sexual activity. Now, this is a big deal because in the past 26 years, statistics have shown that more and more teens are choosing to be sexually active. Recent studies have shown that, I want to get this number right, so let me look at my notes, that less teens are actually having sex. In the past 26 years, it has been kind of a steady incline that 32% more teenagers have chosen to be sexually active, and in the past few years we have seen a decline in that number, which is a huge deal. The focus of sexual risk avoidance is on empowerment. The empowerment to make healthy decisions and to avoid negative life outcomes. Research reveals that when teens have sex, besides the risk of pregnancy and STDs, the following consequences are more likely to occur, often persisting and following them into their adulthood. Less academic achievement, decreased general physical and psychological health, including depression, more involvement in other risky behaviors such as smoking, drinking, and drugs, more likelihood to participate in antisocial or delinquent behavior, less likely to exercise self-efficacy and self-regulation, and less financial net worth and more likely to live in poverty or to struggle financially. This is key, guys. Sexual risk avoidance programs, when utilized properly, are setting our teens up to make solid decisions that will give them the ability to thrive in adulthood. Isn't that what we really want? Our goal as a society should be setting up kids and teens for success. Our goal as a society should be to create a public health environment where we are able to empower and enable teens to set themselves up for success if they are willing to choose to do so. That's what this is all about. That's what You Are Made For More is all about. That's why sexual risk avoidance is working. I encourage you, if you are a parent, one of the best things that you can do if your child is at an age where they're being taught sexual education in the classroom is to inquire about what model of sexual education your school or health curriculum program is using. In a lot of states, it is not a law that they have to disclose that information to teenagers. So educating yourself about that is very, very, very important so that you're able to have conversations with them about it. You also can talk to your local representatives about what kind of sexual education programs are being taught in your local school district. You can talk to the local, to your school board about that. There are so many avenues that we can go down. And part of why I wanted to do this podcast at this timing in this, in summer is because we're preparing for a new year. We want to set our students up for success, and I want to encourage you guys to educate yourselves about what they're learning, and students can ask questions too about this, to teachers and to school board members and things like that before you actually learn it. This is really important information that can set you up for success in your relationships, and we encourage you to do that. Thanks for tuning in this week to the You Are Made For More podcast. I hope that you guys have a great rest of July. We will see you back here in August as we kind of wrap up the summer and look forward to what God has in store for us, and what He has to teach us about relationships in the coming school year.